Thanks for coming and joining with us today. Aren't you glad you listened to that voice that said, why don't you go to church today?
Yeah.
You know, I'm really tired of listening to that other voice. You know, that other voice never helps me. The voice of stubbornness, you know, that one, yeah, it's like, no, that voice has never helped me out any, but the voice that will tell you to do what's in this book is the right voice to listen, amen? Hallelujah, it's the voice of truth. Jesus said, you'll know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. What is truth? Truth is what's real, really real.
Amen.
And you know who is real. Amen. This is not something we're fabricating or faking or playing. This is reality. This is the true reality. Amen.
Amen.
God and His creation.
Yes.
And His creation restored to fellowship with Him. That is the true reality. This is actually the most normal thing for human beings to do, is to worship God. We were created for Him. And so our world is so abnormal that what's abnormal to them is actually normal to God. But the same is true in the reverse. That what is normal to us will often seem abnormal, you know, to people who don't understand, who haven't had their eyes opened yet. But see, that's why God has given us this precious message of the gospel.
Amen.
To take into all the world so that they can also hear the good news and receive the same grace that we have received.
Yes,
amen. It's not just for us, but it's for others. For God so loved the world. That means you. He loves you. He loves me. That He gave Jesus to die for us so we could enter into life. Hallelujah. I was glad when I divorced death, you know?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I used to think I was living, you know, till I met Jesus. I mean, I knew how to party good, you know, party animal, life of the party, bowing down to the porcelain god and yeah, all that good stuff.
Oh, yes.
And then I met Jesus and He said, here, have some of this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have some of my wine.
Yeah.
Have another drink. Drink yes. As much as you like and rejoice your heart in me. And I found such a joy. It's unspeakable. And a peace that passes all understanding.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
What's wrong with those weird people over in that orange church, you know? Actually, they're quite normal. We've discovered something. It's called new life.
Hallelujah.
New life. Wow. God messed me up, man. I'm never going to be the same.
Amen.
And I'm glad He did. You know, sometimes God has to mess you up so that, amen, we'll be in position to say, okay, God, I'm ready. I receive you. You see, God doesn't really mess us up, but we mess ourselves up by rejecting Him. That's what it is. When we think we're smarter than Him, we'll get ourselves into a bind, don't we? Yeah. And unfortunately, we give permission to the devil to mess up our lives. But the Lord allows it because He knows that sometimes that's the only way we're going to realize that not listening to Him is not such a smart idea. And then we learn that, you know what God says is true. I believe that book. I believe everything in that book. I believe every bit of it because I know that it doesn't contradict. I used to think it did because I didn't really know it. And you know, you even have theologians that are out there, so-called experts, but they don't have the Holy Spirit, so they don't really know how to understand the truth except, you know, with their own natural understanding. How many know you can't know truth except that the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth, opens it and reveals it to you? People did not know Jesus, amen, after the resurrection, and Jesus is on the road to Emmaus, remember? And they walked along, and they thought it was the gardener with them, and they were having conversation, and He says, why are you so sad? And He says, don't you realize what's happened these last days where this Jesus of Nazareth was crucified, and don't you know what's happened here recently in the land? And they didn't know they were talking to Jesus. He was walking with them and their eyes were closed. And then he said, well, why don't you turn in with us and break bread? And they broke bread together. And when they broke bread, what happened? Their eyes were opened and they beheld Jesus. They saw Jesus. They saw Jesus. What was Jesus saying? He's saying, I'm the bread of life. He was trying to teach them. They then remembered because they had broke bread with him prior to the cross. Are you with me?
Yep.
And there he shows up. Do you know that Jesus is showing up in a lot of people's lives right now?
Yes.
Amen. I mean, we know, most of us here know that Jesus has already come in. Amen. The light's on. The light is on and it's shining bright. But there are many people who haven't had the light on yet. And so Jesus sometimes is appearing in ways that people don't realize. You know, he's showing up in sometimes in dreams.
Amen.
He's showing up sometimes through casual acquaintances or strangers they meet on the street.
Amen.
He's showing up when they, for some unknown or odd reason, they thought, I just picked the Bible up and see what's in there. And all of a sudden, something different happens. It's this word just becomes alive. I mean, you can read, there's a lot of novels, a lot of books out there, a lot of stuff, a lot of information, but there's something different about this book. When you get into this book, it's alive. These words will transform your heart. Amen. But only by the Holy Spirit, who's the Spirit of truth. It's not enough, is it, just to have an intellectual knowledge of God? There are many people who say, I believe God. You know, oh yeah, I believe God. So somehow that they feel like that justifies me because I believe God. Well, James said, well, so do the demons. And they tremble. But we know God because God revealed himself to us. When we came to him with a heart that was open to receive him. You remember the Christmas song we sing? Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. Hey, it's Easter. But we open our hearts. You know, Jesus said, those who want to know the truth will know whether or not the words that I speak to you are from God or not. So you see, it's not like, if I really want to know the truth, then you want to know he who is the truth, who is Jesus. And Jesus will reveal himself. Seek and you'll find. And he's like a precious jewel, amen, that we're searching out the treasure of who he is. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Well, we're catching fish. That's what it's all about, amen. I mean, I was a fish that was caught, and man, am I glad I got caught. But you know what? We can't clean anybody up. You know that. We need to just point them to the one who can. And that's why we don't compare ourselves to people who are, what we say, pre-Christian. Because without the grace of God, we're all in that same spot where we're lost, we're separated. But it's by God's mercy that I am saved today. How about you? And therefore, we want to throw the net out and say, listen, you know what? What Jesus did for me, he can do for you. And he wants to save you. He wants to give you new life. He wants you to taste and see how good he really is. He wants you to experience the reality of the resurrection in your heart. Hallelujah. I once was lost and dead in sin, but Jesus came in and he resurrected me on the inside, and people didn't know what happened. The band I was playing in thought I lost it because it was just night and day. One week we're in there doing our thing and whatever goes along with that lifestyle and doing Sabbath and all that stuff. And the next week I'm in there and I'm like, you guys hear about Jesus? Two of the members got saved, by the way.
Amen.
Yeah, so it was just too good to give up. So, I don't know. You know, we have to ask the question, what in hell do you want? Yeah. I don't want anything to do with that place or the one who's there. You know, isn't it true that we see the results of heaven even in our day-to-day lives? I mean, there is the glory of God in the earth. There's goodness. Would you agree there's still goodness? Why? Because God is. And we see all the evil, yeah, everywhere, all the dysfunction and all that. So we see the reality of the invisible kingdoms, amen, in what we see. And so it's your choice to look below the surface and say, okay, there's cause and effect. There is certainly creation here. There's an earth, amen. There's a perfect climate. Everything, the stars, the sun, the moon, everything's in its place, in its orbit, you know. Someone had to have some intelligent design here to put everything together to support life for you and I. And even made us a pretty, I think it's a pretty good looking earth suit, you know. Some of you may disagree, but Heysook likes me. She tolerates me anyways. But anyways, God has revealed himself through what he's made through creation. Now, obviously, today is the day that we you know, it's, hey, it's Easter Sunday. You know, we know Easter is all about the resurrection. Jesus rose from the dead. So are you doing okay this morning? Are you enjoying yourself so far? I find that Jesus is very enjoyable. I find that religion is stale and dead and lifeless, you know, and just a turnoff. But I find that Jesus is awesome. Yes. Jesus is exciting. And so that's what we have to differentiate, right? Because we may have a form of things that we do. We even have a form in this church, a way we kind of a pattern of how we do things. But if we come together and we do these things, you know, that we do, singing, you know, offering, talking, listening to some guy up here preach at you, you know, but you don't encounter Jesus, you've missed the point. See, that's what I didn't get when the times I had been in church before when I was in the world and I'd gone in and I hadn't encountered the person of Jesus Christ. I was just kind of around these people and I was listening to some message. And in some cases, they weren't even presenting the person of Jesus Christ. They were presenting religion. So it was like, I don't have anything here that I want. You know, if I want to go to a funeral, I'll just call the funeral home and find out when the next one is. But Jesus said, I came that you might have life. Amen. Amen. And life more abundantly. And so he's exciting. Yes. Turn in your Bibles this morning to Job chapter 14. They're thinking Easter and Job. Okay. We're going to talk about the resurrection today, of course. Kind of a good Easter subject, isn't it? But Holy Spirit, we ask you to take the things of Jesus and reveal them to us right now. Lord, we ask you to breathe upon us and open our ears, our hearts to receive on good soil the truth that will set us free. Lord, we pray for the revelation of the resurrection today. In Jesus' name. Now, Job here was in a state that we can only imagine how he was feeling. He was, you know, he had lost everything. He was, even his health, he had boils head to toe, you know. The dogs came and licked on him. He just was miserable, itching and pain. And then all his comforting friends came along and told him how unrighteous he was. And that's why he was suffering such a thing. And have you ever heard anybody tell you that when you were down and say, well, there must be sin in your life, brother, you know, or something. You know, it's usually not a good idea to kick somebody when they're already down, right? You might not want to kick anybody, period, but, you know, especially when they're down. But, you know, sometimes people are well-meaning and they want to comfort you, and so they mean well, but sometimes they don't come across. I've done it before. I've slipped up and I meant well. Sometimes it's best not to say anything when somebody's grieving, you know what I'm saying? But just be a presence there, be with them, to comfort them, to pray for them if they need anything. And so Job's giving this despondent prayer here in chapter 14. And he says, man, verse 1, who is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. Has anybody discovered that yet? He comes forth like a flower and fades away. He flees like a shadow and does not continue. And do you open your eyes on such a one and bring me to judgment with yourself? See, Job couldn't understand why he was going through this misery. Because Job was, in his own estimation, he was righteous and he had done everything he knew that to do that was right. And he's finding himself in this place that didn't seem fair. And of course, he didn't know what was going on behind the scenes. And who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? No one. Since his days are determined, the number of his months is with you, speaking to the Lord. You have appointed his limits so that he cannot pass. Look away from him that he may rest. You know, Job's getting to the point of really of despair. And he's just saying, God, it's better for me just to be dead, you know, than to have to deal with this anymore. Has anybody ever felt that way? Till like a hired man, he finishes his day. In verse 7, he says, well, for there is hope for a tree if it is cut down. See, Job was unknowingly prophesying here. And we're going to look at this a little bit. Of the resurrection. Now, he knew from nature how life can come out of dead things. You know, a seed, Jesus said, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, perhaps it will produce a harvest, right? It will grow up and it will bud and have an ear, right, of grain and then the full grain in the ear. And so we see in nature even a type of death and resurrection. And so he's looking at things from a natural perspective. And he says, if a tree is cut down, that it will sprout again and that its tender shoots will not cease. Though its roots may grow old in the earth and its stump may die in the ground, yet at the scent of water, it will bud. Has anybody ever felt like you were just dried up and ready to die? And God showed up and blessed your socks off and you just sprouted right back up again. Spruced you right up. That's the power of the resurrection that's active in our lives today. And bring forth branches like a plant. Verse 10, but man dies and is laid away. Indeed, he breathes his last. And where is he? See, he didn't really know. As water disappears from the sea and a river becomes parched and dries up, so man lies down and does not rise. Have you ever kind of like talked out loud? You know, when you do counseling, sometimes it's helpful because as you're talking out loud about what you're feeling and going through, all of a sudden it's like it's out there on the plate for you to look at. And that's kind of what Job is doing. He's kind of like just talking about his thoughts. He's just wondering aloud. And so he says, man lies down and does not rise till the heavens are no more. They will not awake nor be aroused from their sleep. But look at this in verse 13. Oh, that you would hide me in the grave, that you would conceal me until your wrath is past. He thought he was under the judgment of God. That you would appoint me a set time and remember me. So there's a glimmer of hope. There's something there that's saying, well, maybe it's not going to, I'm not quite sure, but maybe there is something beyond this life and what I'm seeing right now. And then verse 14, he says, if a man dies, shall he live again? Question. All the days of my hard service, I will wait till my change comes. Do you see how on one side he's talking pessimistically and kind of like in a hopeless way? But before he finishes, he's talking about the hopefulness of something greater than what he's experiencing. Something beyond his present circumstances. Something beyond even this world. And it's amazing how the Holy Spirit had put that in there for us to see. How, you know what? God has put eternity in the heart of every person. You see, as there's a time in our lives when we all know God is. We all know there's a greater than us. We all know that. But Romans 1 is clear. It says, although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God. As a result, darkness comes upon people. You see, God is constantly reaching his arms out to us and say, hey, I'm here, come to me. I created you for fellowship with me. But when we refuse his love, when we refuse the light, then the inevitable thing is darkness will come upon us and our eyes will become blind. I've shared this many times, but I remember reading this statistic of a third grade classroom where they asked them, how many of you believe in God? And they all raised their hand. They all had a little bit of different idea of what God was, but it was all somebody up there bigger than me. God is great. God is big. God made this world. But then you shift to college classroom. God doesn't exist. You see, although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God. There's a time of God's visitation on every human being. God is being merciful and gracious, and he's throwing out the invitation. He said, listen, I am throwing a party for my son. I'm going to have a banquet for my son. I want you to be one of my guests. I want you to come into my kingdom to be one of my people, one of my children. And I have provided a way through the sacrifice of this same son for you to be made right with me. Will you say yes? Will you come? Will you respond to my invitation? And of course, you know how the story went on. There were those who did respond, but there were those who made excuses. And then the host had every right to be upset because his son was crucified. To make this celebration possible for anyone who will come through Jesus to be saved and to enjoy the pleasures of God. Amen. In his presence is fullness of joy. And at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. You see, God is just. God is fair. God is not willing that anyone should perish. And so here, God is revealing himself and given, there's a certain amount of light, you see, that everybody has. Would you agree? Yep. You don't have kids coming out of the womb, you know, that are just like, don't believe any of that stuff. They're taught to believe that. The demons begin to whisper in people's ears because the demons want you to have the same faith that they have. That there is no chance of redemption for them. That they had left their first estate, that they are condemned eternally. And so they want to take as many people with them as possible. They're mad at God. Not only that, they're jealous of us because of the blessings that we're receiving through the redemption in Christ. So the devil wants to destroy as many people as he can. And how many know he's doing a pretty good job at it? He's even done a pretty good job in our own lives to some degree, hasn't he? But God, in his mercy, gave Jesus as payment for our sin that we could be made right with him. That we can enjoy fellowship with him, dining at his table. The song, carried to the table, seated where I don't belong, seated at the table. Swept away by his great love. But God in his mercy has invited us to come. You see, a relationship has to be consensual, doesn't it? It has to be by choice. So God will never say you must be saved in the sense that you will be saved or you must love me or you must serve me. He's going to give you absolute free choice. You choose this day who you will serve. But if you refuse his love, then you have tied his hands. Why? Because God will not violate your will to choose. He says, choose this day who you'll serve. Choose life that you might live. Choose Jesus, who is the life that you might live. David Look forward to the resurrection in Psalm 16 and 10. He says, "For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption." And this is also prophetic speaking of the Messiah, Jesus, that even though he was crucified, on the third day he was going to rise again from the dead. And David said in verse 11 in Psalm 16, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Isaiah prophesied of it, 700 B.C., Isaiah 26:19, "Your dead shall live, together with my dead body they shall rise. Awake and sing, you who dwell in dust, for your dew is like the dew of herbs, and the earth will cast out the dead." How many know there's going to be a resurrection?
Amen.
Jesus claimed not just about the resurrection, he didn't talk about it, but he claimed to be it. He says, "I am the resurrection and the life." Amen. When he raised Lazarus from the dead, he says, "I'm not just a way. I am the way, the truth, and the life." He's the Son of God. Amen. He's the door. Now we see in Leviticus chapter 14. I want us to look at this morning a bit. This is the law of the cleansing of the leper. Now, a leper typifies a sinner. Leprosy is the effects of sin. Amen? And so they didn't understand why God told them to do these rituals. Why they were supposed to very specifically do certain things in order for people to be declared clean or to be cleansed. But in everything that God was instructing Moses and others to do, it was so that he may present himself through a type or a picture or a shadow of Christ, who is the actual fulfillment of it. Amen. So here we see in this, the cleansing of the leper, we see how God had chosen a certain method for people to be cleansed and to be restored back into society. Because if anyone had leprosy in that day, and in some countries even today, as you know, that they're outcasts. They're not allowed to be with the main population. And in that time, they were to leave their hair disheveled. They were to wear mourning clothes. They were not to shave their beards. And they were to cover their faces. And they were to go about saying, "Unclean, unclean." And you know, folks, that's just exactly where we were at one time. Because to be separated from the life of God is to be unclean. Because all have sinned, not just some. Every one of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin, the penalty for sin, is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. So in this chapter 14, the leper was brought to the priest. They were to choose two living and clean birds. Two living, clean birds. Cedarwood, scarlet, and hyssop. Now, what God is trying to do is he is trying to give us an illustration of redemption here. That even though we were once lost in sin, we were unclean, we were not allowed to be in the fellowship, you see, of the kingdom of heaven, as citizens of heaven, we were excluded from that. Why? Because anything unclean could not come into his clean kingdom. Otherwise, we would contaminate the kingdom. And so God made a way for us to be clean, to be cleansed, to receive forgiveness, and this is through the shedding of blood. And so there was two living birds, and there was three things here: cedarwood, hyssop, and scarlet. Now you notice that cedar is a great lofty tree, and hyssop is like a little shrub that grows often out of the crags of rocks. So you see one of being in humility and the other one being high and lofty. How many know there's just two kinds of people, really? There's up and outers and down and outers. You see, what God is saying is that judgment is coming upon all. And he has appointed a day in which he's going to judge the world. Nobody's going to escape the judgment of God. Every knee shall bow. Everyone will see him. And people need to be aware of that. They need to know that, listen, you don't have to die in your sin. You can be ready to meet the Lord. You can have your sins forgiven. You can have your conscience clear. Oh, doesn't that feel good? Doesn't it feel good to have peace in your heart? And so they took the cedar wood and the hyssop and the scarlet, which is associated with sins. In Isaiah 1:18, the Lord said, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Hyssop is also associated with inner cleansing. We see that in Psalms 51:7, where David said, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. We also remember at the Exodus, remember when the Lord told him to apply the blood of the Lamb to the doorpost, which also symbolizes the cross, the redemption through the blood of Christ. Amen. And the deliverance out of captivity. Hallelujah. New life. Amen. The devil and his hosts being cut off. But they were to take hyssop, dip it in the blood, and apply it. So hyssop also could speak of faith. By faith we apply the blood. But hyssop speaks of an inner cleansing. You see, God wants the entire person to be pure. You know, we can change a lot of things on the outside. We can put a lot of paint on, or we can dress up just so. And, you know, we can present to the world an image, and, you know, you see all the supermodels and the stars, and people, oh, I wish I looked like that person. I wish I was that person. And you might not, if you knew what life was really like for them, you might not want to be that person. But you know what? It's not about the external things. See, that's what I'm trying to make the point. It doesn't matter how you look. It's not about clothing and styles. This is what God is looking at, the heart, isn't he? All right, so we can put on this facade, look good to the world, but if we're not whole internally, we won't stand out externally. You know what I'm saying? You can't stand up for Jesus. You can't stand up on the outside if you're crumbling on the inside. So God wants to cleanse you, and he wants to fill you with his presence. This is what he is offering us in salvation. So what he'd do is he'd take one of these birds, okay? The two living birds, one of the birds would be killed, all right? And it would be over an earthen jar of spring water, which was living water. Amen? How many know that Jesus says, them that believe on me, out of their belly will flow rivers of living water? Speaking of the Holy Spirit. Okay? So we see the one bird is killed over an earthen jar of spring water. And then he would dip the living bird, the cedar wood, which I also believe speaks of the cross. That Jesus was nailed to the cross, a wooden, amen, cross. And the scarlet and hyssop in the water and the blood of the slain bird. And all these ingredients together would be sprinkled seven times upon the leper. Seven is the number of completion. Amen. In other words, when God forgives you, he does a good job. He completes that work. Are you with me? He can cleanse you completely and totally. And then what happened after they would sprinkle the leper seven times is the other bird would be released, what? Into the field to fly away free. That speaks of the resurrection. You see the cross, the blood, amen? The work of redemption, as well as the water, which speaks of the regeneration by the Holy Spirit. It's all there, folks. And then the living word is free to go. Hallelujah. I mean, you know that Jesus was not going to be held in the grave. On the third day, he rose again. And see, that's why, folks, people need to understand, and we need to understand, is that there must be an application of blood. Do you know that none of us can come before God except by the blood of Jesus? There must be application of the blood. Amen. And there must be the work of the Holy Spirit, of regeneration by the Holy Spirit. The blood cleanses us. The blood purifies. How many know you're the temple, right? So the blood of Jesus cleanses your temple. And then the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within us. And we become spiritually alive. Because God, you know, would not dwell in an unclean temple. Everything in the temple in the Old Testament had to be purged with blood. And an oil was also applied because oil symbolized the Holy Spirit. So we need the blood and we need the Spirit. Amen? And this by the word that the revelation of God comes to us, showing us the way to new life. So why then was it necessary for Jesus to rise again? Well, number one, the resurrection of Christ proved that his sacrifice on our behalf was approved by God the Father. Amen. If Jesus had not lived a sinless life, how many of you know that he would not rise again on the third day? Hebrews 9:12 says, not with the blood of goats and calves, which is the old pattern, but with his own blood, Jesus entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. The second reason why it was necessary for Christ to rise again is that it now means that we have a high priest in the heavens representing us. Amen. The third reason is the resurrection means that we have forgiveness of sins, that we can have our sin, amen, problem dealt with. And when we mess up, we can come to God and confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Also, the resurrection means mankind could be made righteous again. Not the people that walk around wearing funny, you know, their hair in a bun and saying, well, this makes me righteous. That doesn't make you righteous. Are you with me? The only thing that makes you righteous is Christ, because Christ is our righteousness. Now, if you want to wear your hair that way, that's fine. Okay. I'm not picking on you if you wear your hair that way. It's not about the external things that people do. It's not about the actions and the works that I do. You see, good works are a result of genuine salvation. Amen. If we've been born again, you'll want to serve God. Not as a means of justification, but because you're justified, you just want to say thank you for the rest of your life. How can I serve you, Lord, now? Well, now, I'm going to here believe that Jesus rose again. Right? Amen. We believe that? Okay. Now, what about our resurrection? What is that going to look like? Jesus spoke about two resurrections in John chapter 5 in verse 26. You can look it up later if you'd like. But in verse 26, Jesus said this, for as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself and has given him authority to execute judgment also because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves, that means you and I, will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. Two resurrections are being spoken of here. Everybody is going to rise again. There's no such thing as I'm dead and buried and it's over, folks. That's the grace we give ourselves. That's the way people want to believe, because they don't want to face the reality that there are consequences for what you do in this world. How many know that's true? So Jesus was very clear to point out to those who are listening that, listen, there's going to be two resurrections. There's going to be a resurrection of the just and a resurrection of those who are condemned. And so here we see him speaking this. And then he said this in Revelation 20 and verse 4. This is speaking of the resurrection of life. And I saw thrones and they that sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness of Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and who had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power. Here, he's once again, Jesus is speaking about the two resurrections. The first resurrection and then the second death. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. How many know that when you're born again and you become a citizen of heaven, you also become a royal priesthood?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Then the second resurrection is the resurrection spoken of in chapter 20 in verse 11. This is the resurrection of condemnation. Verse 11, then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades, or hell, were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Listen, verse 15. And anyone not found written in the Lamb's book of life, or the book of life, was cast into the lake of the fire. So Jesus made it very clear, there's not going to be a neutral place. There's not going to be some place that you can kind of hang out in. Amen. Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
Yes.
He says it's better for me to be out of my body so I can be with Jesus. But it's needful for me to be in this body so I can tell you about the good news of Jesus and how you can be saved. So there's not going to be this thing about, well, I'm just going to die and... And you know what? I used to try to tell myself that. I used to try to convince myself of that. Yeah, I'm just going to die and then I'm just going to go in the grave. It's going to be over. Huh. So I'm just going to party hard. I'm going to live a totally selfish life, irregardless of other, you know what, if I hurt other people or not. Now, I was never really a mean person, but still I was lost and I was selfish. Didn't sound very mean, right? But I was trying to convince myself in my heart that, you know what, it's all right. It's all right, Keith. You're all right. You're a pretty good guy. You know, yeah, you did all that bad stuff, but look at all the good stuff you do. The devil will tell you that. Yeah, you did a lot of bad stuff, but look at the good stuff you did. The problem is that sin cannot stand in the presence of God. So the sin problem must be dealt with. That's why Jesus died. And the fact of the resurrection is that even the secular historians, Josephus, he spoke of it. It's a reality that Jesus indeed did rise again from the dead. He appeared to over 500 witnesses. He spent some time after his resurrection, folks. It's all there. And we know the reality of the resurrection in our hearts. You know what? Nobody can talk me out. Whether they want to go back and say, oh, the whole thing was botched. They did this. They did that. They hid the body. They blah, blah. You know what? They'll never convince me. You know what? I don't know why. Because Christ is risen in my heart. Oh. Night and day. The light is on. And this is what Christ wants to do for every one of us. He wants the light on. And you got to turn from darkness in order to have the light on. You've got to step out of death into life. You've got to receive what he's done for you. Amen? And be willing to walk away from the past. You know what repentance really means? It's not just, you know, bawling and crying and snot coming out of your nose and all that stuff. And, you know, there's a time where you're sorrowful for your sin. All right? There's a godly sorrow. But real repentance, folks, is you and I turning away from ourself. I cannot save myself. I thought I could. I thought I was giving myself a lot of grace, you know, until I became aware one day the Holy Spirit turned a light on and I'm like, oh my God, I'm in trouble. oh my God, if I die today, I'm going to burn in hell. Hell is a real place. Jesus spoke of it. I believe Jesus. I'm not going to trust in what science says. I'm going to trust in what Jesus says. As a matter of fact, science now uses the Bible. They're proving what the Bible's already said.
Yeah.
They just said, well, man just discovered. No, did you read the Bible? Oh. Power of life is in the tongue. They're discovering that. You can really hurt people with what you say. You can build people with what you say. Someday, you and I are going to die. Could you bow your heads this morning? I want you to just take a moment, would you please, with me, just to ask yourself this question. Are you ready to die? Is it well with your soul today? Do you know that you know it's okay? That you have peace with God and that you have already entered into life? Have you received Christ as your Lord and your Savior today? Is he in your heart? You see, if you don't have Christ in you, then you don't have life. You must have Jesus Christ living in you. And so the Lord says, as we heard this morning, he spoke prophetically through us this morning, I stand at the door and I knock. And if you hear my voice, did you hear his voice today speaking to you? Would you open the door and let him in? Let him in. Let him in. Open up your heart, he says, and let me in. Open up your heart right now, right where you're at. Jesus, come in. Jesus, I believe you died for me. Forgive me. Cleanse me. Purify me. Maybe you've just been away from the Lord. Maybe you've just drifted. God's calling you home. He's calling you back. He wants you to get back in the fight. He wants you to get back in. Hallelujah. The will of his purpose for you. Would you just say, yes, Jesus, I'm coming home today. I'm all in, Lord. I realize I can't save myself, Lord. I'm just all in. When you're there, when you're 100%, he's going to show up. Are you all there? Are you ready this morning? Are you all in? Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I give you my mind. I give you my body. I want you to save me. Lord, I want to know this great salvation that you came to give me, that you're freely given right now. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Cleanse me from all my sin. Would you pray that? Let's pray it together. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Cleanse me from all sin. Fill me with your holy presence. Make me a new creation. In Jesus' name, I receive the gift of God today. I confess with my mouth what I believe in my heart. That God raised you from the dead, Jesus. And I claim you as my Savior. And I will follow you from this day forward. Amen. Hallelujah.